Hey, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Politically Incorrect Podcast. I'm Jim Williams, your host. We're going to talk a little bit about something that is one of the hottest topics in politics today, and that is, what are states going to do now that it is legal to bet on both professional and college sports? Now, you know, not everybody is going to get into this game. And it's going to be a fascinating process. And right now, there are a few states that are ramping up as quickly as possible in hopes of getting ready to take advantage of the end of the Major League Baseball season, the beginning of college football in the NFL. And those, of course, New Jersey, Delaware, Pennsylvania, and some other states, which we'll get into. Our guest today is a longtime friend, somebody who you know of, we've had him on before. It's Evan Weiner. Evan is a business of sports and politics expert, major big time author of 7 books, which I strongly recommend you read, and also does a daily commentary, also speaks about the concept all around the world. He's going to be our guest. We'll be talking to Evan Weiner. But first, let me let you in on a little secret. Let me tell you a little bit about my friends at BitTrust IRA, okay? The world of cryptocurrency is both exciting and daunting, okay? It's not a place for rookies. Look, if you don't have cryptocurrency like I do and millions of others in your existing portfolio, you are making a mistake. But now I know you want to take advantage of Bitcoin, but you don't know how. You want to add Bitcoin to your retirement account. Look, you're always wanting to add diversity to your portfolio, you know, and why not look at innovative investments, right? Well, I'm going to tell you what. My buddies at BitTrust IRA are going to help you do this in a seamless and secure way to add cryptocurrency to your portfolio. Their team handles the entire process. They make it easy, okay? Now, their team becomes your team. They explain everything to you in a step-by-step manner, very easy, okay? They answer every one of your questions. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to download a free copy of their cryptocurrency IRA investor's guide. That's called the Cryptocurrency IRA Investor's Guide. It is free, and you can get it at bittrustira.com/podcast. That's B-I-T-T. RUSTIRA.com/podcast. BITTRUSTIRA.com/podcast. Or if you prefer to call, that's not a problem either. All right, you ready? Here's the numbers. 855-642-8800. That's 855-642-8800. Call the folks at BitTrust IRA today. You're going to thank me for it. I know you will. Evan, let's start at the beginning. A lot of people are wondering what's going on. First of all, what we can tell you is this. Not all 50 states are going to participate in this gaming situation, but let's start from the beginning. Evan, why don't you give us some history on how this came about and where we are right now?
Well, for some reason, Bill Bradley decided as the New Jersey senator come up with legislation called the Professional and Amateur Sports Protection Act back in 1991 and 92, and it became law of the land in 1992, signed into law by George Bush, George H.W. Bush. And Bradley decided, along with his colleagues in the Senate and also in the House, that professional sports and college sports should not be bet upon, with the exception of Nevada, which had a full-time sports book, Delaware, which in 1976 started parlay football betting, Montana, and Oregon. Now, there was some question about grandfathering in New Jersey, because when New Jersey went after legalized gambling in Atlantic City, there was always the thought, well, maybe we should have a sports book. That never came to be, and by 1992, it was clear that New Jersey would fall under the new law as opposed to being grandfathered in. And that became, over the years, something New Jersey kicked the tires at. And then eventually, Chris Christie and the New Jersey State Senate, both houses in New Jersey, decided to go after gambling. In 2011, there was a referendum, and New Jersey voters decided they wanted sports gambling in the state. And then the NFL sued and won. Now, let's take a step back. Delaware also wanted sports gambling and was ready to implement a sports book at the three casinos racetracks in Delaware. And the NFL sued them, and they won. So the anti-gambling forces, which was led by the NFL, kept winning in court and winning in court and winning in court. And as you know, in the American judicial system, all it takes is one win if it's at the Supreme Court. And they got the win at the Supreme Court. New Jersey sued, states' rights issue, among other things. And they were able to win in the Supreme Court. And pretty soon we're going to see Monmouth Racetrack open up a sports book and some new some old hotels and new hotels in New Jersey. The Borgata is ready to go. Their parent company is MGM. And the old Trump Taj Mahal is turning into a Hard Rock Cafe and casino. And sports book there, which is kind of ironic because allegedly the Trump administration is against the implementation of legalized sports book.
You know, another surprise, and it shouldn't be a surprise to some people, but one of the challengers in getting the sports book online fast is actually Churchill Downs. Churchill Downs is now using their markets, which is Pennsylvania and Mississippi, and they just bought casinos in New Jersey as well. They expect to be online with the new Churchill Downs situation in New Jersey about the same time as everybody else is getting there. They expect that they will be up and running at their facility, which is of course a hotel in the Atlantic City, which they've done a partnership with, which should be pretty interesting. So Churchill Downs has got out there quickly. Real quick look at the states at this point and where they are, is pretty amazing, to be honest with you. The states at this point in time that are ready to go are obviously New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware, Mississippi. They're all past recent bills ready to go. Following that, there is Rhode Island, Connecticut, New York, Maryland, South Carolina, Louisiana, Oklahoma, Kansas, Missouri, Kentucky, Indiana, Illinois, and California, who have passed recent bills, but they do not go into effect until the legislature meets. So if you haven't heard your state on there, it's quite possible that that it's not yet going to get into effect, or there's no interest in it. Now, there's a lot of states on there that obviously are interested, but they just didn't pull the trigger as quickly as the ones we talked about. And again, that's New Jersey, Delaware, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and Mississippi. Those states would be able to join Nevada rather quickly in the business of sports gaming.
Yeah, here in New York, I know Gary Pretlow, who is a member of the Senate, rather the Assembly, and he's part of that committee that's looking into sports book. And New York is an interesting place, particularly in the New York City area where I live, in that we have Belmont Racetrack, we have Aqueduct, and we have Yonkers Raceway, and also with a spa in Saratoga, but I think that's less of a issue right now than the others, although I guess the Traverses run up in Saratoga during the summer. And in 2021, the licenses between the casinos and the racetracks end. And it is thought that New York wants to open up some casinos. And obviously, if you're opening up a casino downstate or upstate, they're opening up one in Monticello, and in an effort to recapture the old days of the Borscht Belt and Myron Cohn, which they'll never do, but they're opening up a casino in Monticello. And what they might do is take racing out of Belmont and out of Aqueduct and just have the one track in Belmont, which does not have a casino built for gambling, just track. And it's going to be interesting to see what transpires over the next couple of years here, because we will know where the horse racing industry there is going, and possibly around the country, if they decide to decommission the Rooney family, Tim Rooney's Yonkers Raceway Empire City Casino, and also Aqueduct, which has been there forever, and put it all into just one bag, so to speak, over in Belmont. So you'll have Belmont, and you'll have New York Islanders hockey over there. I do know that New York State has been looking for years and years and years to get involved with sports gambling. And the other thing is, they may almost have to. They may be forced into it, because the Meadowlands is right outside the Lincoln Tunnel. That's just 5 miles from Midtown Manhattan as the crow flies, or 9 miles. Of course, as the crow flies, it's a little different than getting through the Lincoln or Holland Tunnel to get over there. And that might force their hand, because New Jersey has seen Yonkers Raceway, which is close to northern New Jersey, open up and take the gambling money there. Of course, New Jersey's been bleeding gambling money for years and years and years, in terms of, you know, Pennsylvania has it, Delaware has it, New York has it. So I think they're going to try to get to the Meadowlands real fast. Whether the Giants and Jets like that or not is immaterial, even though they'll be sharing the facility. And I think that that's going to force New York's hand. And now I can only talk for New York. I know in Maryland, they got to go through the legislature. I know Connecticut is thinking of calling a special session of the legislature to consider gambling. And of course, the other problem is in Connecticut is the Indian casinos. Will the Indian casinos allow sports gambling at state casinos? If Connecticut so chooses, or will the sports book be Mohegan Sun and Foxwoods in Connecticut? But then again, Mohegan Sun and Foxwoods is a lot closer to the Boston market than it is to the New York market. And Massachusetts is talking about maybe we should have sports gambling. So it's going to be interesting to see how all this shakes out. But I think New York is going to do it in a hurry, because they are going to look at this and say, hey, we're going to lose money to the Meadowlands. And people are used to going to the Meadowlands for Giants and Jet games. So can you imagine what Giants and Jet games would be like on Sunday or Monday night, particularly Monday night, if there's a sports book at the Meadowlands when you have 80,000 people over there?
Well, the other part of the equation is that while New York is sitting around deciding, Pennsylvania is ready. Delaware is ready. They will be behind the curve before they even get started.
But those casinos are still far away unless there's internet, and you could bet on the internet. But then again, if you could bet on the internet, you could probably pick any book that you want.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, you've got Philly, you've got the Lehigh Valley area, because MGM has a facility there. And then, of course, obviously, it's out in western Pennsylvania. But let's move out of the tri-state area.
Yeah, we forgot about one state that's been real successful, West Virginia.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And West Virginia's ready to go, too. Let's go out to the central part of the country, where Illinois and Indiana are pretty much, on the verge of being able to pull this thing off again, possibly as soon as late summer, and potentially ready for September for the NFL and college football. So you've got the center part, you've got
and
the
Iowa.
East Coast. Yeah, exactly. You've got the East Coast with New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Maryland, West Virginia, Delaware, in various situations with Connecticut, Massachusetts, Rhode Island. So you've got that quadrant packed off. You've got the center of the country with Indiana, Iowa, and Illinois all understanding that this stuff is coming. And basically, this has really been a situation where legislators and, you know, people in the gaming industry, and you know and I know because we've spoken to these people, all had the idea that once this, you know, that they felt it was going to happen eventually, and eventually wasn't going to be that long, so they prepared for it. And those who prepared for it are basically being, rewarded for it, but they certainly are rewarded for the fact that they are set to do something which they've wanted to do for a very long time.
Well, the first thing that we have to look for is New Jersey, and they want everything done by around June 6th, June 7th, June 8th.
Right.
And we talk about football, and yeah, football betting is immense, but the sport that's most bet on is baseball, and we're right in the middle of baseball season. And people tend to forget about that because you have, let's say with off days during the summer, minimum 10 games a night or 10 games an afternoon. And that's with a day off for a lot of teams. But most days it's 15. And if you're in a stretch where, as you know, because of rules, you could play 20 straight days. If everybody plays 20 straight days, that's 300 games. And that's more than an NFL season. NFL season is basically Sunday and Monday nights with a few Thursdays thrown in there. But baseball is every day, and it's every day from now, the late March, until early October. And that's, what, about 180 days of betting? Mm-hmm. That's where the money is really made, not necessarily the football. Football comes in one shot on the weekends, and that includes college football. But, you know, they're losing money right now because, A, the NBA is going on and the NHL is going on. And there are people who bet on Major League Soccer, but the real action every day is 15 games a day of Major League Baseball. And I think New Jersey and everybody else probably wants to get a piece of that action because that's a lot of action.
Absolutely. Evan, I'll tell you what, let's step aside and we'll come back and we'll continue to talk about how sports gaming is going to affect, you know, the states and what they do with it. And we'll start talking about if there's money to be made here right after this. Let me tell you a little bit about my friends at BitTrust IRA, okay? The world of cryptocurrency is both exciting and daunting, okay? It's not a place for rookies. Look, if you don't have cryptocurrency like I do and millions of others, in your existing portfolio, you are making a mistake. But now I know you want to take advantage of Bitcoin, but you don't know how. You want to add Bitcoin to your retirement account. Look, you're always wanting to add diversity to your portfolio, you know, and why not look at innovative investments, right? Well, I'm going to tell you what, my buddies at BitTrust IRA are going to help you do this in a seamless and secure way to add cryptocurrency to your portfolio. Their team handles the entire process. They make it easy, okay? Now, their team becomes your team. They explain everything to you in a step-by-step manner, very easy, okay? They answer every one of your questions. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to download a free copy of their Cryptocurrency IRA Investor's Guide. That's called the Cryptocurrency IRA Investor's Guide. It is free, and you can get it at bittrustira.com/podcast. That's bittrustira.com/podcast. bittrustira.com/podcast. Or if you prefer to call, that's not a problem either. All right, you ready? Here's the numbers. 855-642-8800. That's 855-642-8800. Call the folks at BitTrust IRA today. You're going to thank me for it. I know you will. I'm back with Evan Wiener, and we are talking about gaming. And now that we've got professional sports betting, and it's going to be interesting because you've got betting on college, betting on pros, and all different types of books that will be out there. Evan, let's talk a little bit about why it might be prudent for some of these states to sit back and, as you said before the break, see how things shake out in New Jersey. Because, you know, I know a lot of people are looking at this as a panacea, but, you know, the sports book in Nevada only represents about 4% of the income of the state. So, you know, I don't know what kind of cash cow this is going to be, but we'll certainly find out.
Well, I think that what you're looking at is politicians trying to close budgets to pay mm-hmm. for whatever they need, which may be bonds for roads, maybe education, maybe health insurance care, because that's going up for public workers. And I think they're looking at this as not a panacea to close all budget gaps, but at least bringing in a new line of revenue that hasn't been there that perhaps that they could throw at some of the problems that they have. But on the other hand, I'll tell the story. I won't tell the circumstance or why I know the story, but I'll tell a story, and it probably sounds familiar. Somebody at work who I know said they had a coworker, and that coworker's spouse kept calling to make sure that coworker was at work and not at the casino racetrack putting money into the slot machines, or as Tim Rooney used to call them, the machines that make noise. Mm-hmm. Tim Rooney, of course, owning Empire City Yonkers Raceway and former owner of the part owner of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I think that there is an addiction problem that might be addressed, that is the 800-pound elephant in the room that seems to be overlooked right now. And, yeah, you could call Gamblers Anonymous, or if you have trouble at all the casinos, they put up the 800 number that you could call. The upside, of course, is states will get more money. The downside is how many addicted gamblers are you creating, making it so easy? It's a lot easier to go to your local whatever than go to see the guy on the other side of the block and put your money down, although people do that. And I think that's something that needs to be addressed, and that has not been addressed. I'll tell you, you know, you're talking about the integrity that the sports leagues want. Iowa said no to the 1%. I see Rob Manfred, Major League Baseball, said, oh, well, we can live at 0.25%, because they're looking to make money off of it.
Sure.
They being sports leagues. And Nevada doesn't pay, so why should anybody else pay? Mm-hmm. Doesn't make any sense. It's a game, but you don't have to use logos. You don't have to use any intellectual properties. The mm-hmm. cities aren't going to yell if you have New York on the board against Los Angeles without a team nickname. People who bet know who's playing. So that argument is specious. But there are downsides to this as well. I mean, in sure. terms of addiction, in terms of will you be breaking up families? Will people be spending money all of a sudden on games that they would do normally for college education or food or whatever? And if you do remember correctly, one of the reasons that was never said about Monday Night Football when Pete Rozelle wanted to start it back in 1966, and there were a couple Monday Night Football games back in 1966 on CBS, which nobody remembers. Mm-hmm. Anyway, see, Bill Paley liked the Lucy Show better than the NFL on Monday nights. But Monday night is the night that you bet to make back all of your losses on Sunday.
Right.
And
if you're a compulsive gambler, yes.
Yeah, if you're a compulsive gambler. So the leagues aren't worried about the compulsive gambler. What they are worried about is so-called integrity, but they've never laid out what the integrity is. Somebody's going to go up to some guy making $23 million a year and say, hey, why don't you throw this game? How much are you going to pay me? I'll give you $10,000. It's not going to happen in this day and age.
No.
It might have happened back in the 1950s, as Bob Pettit used to say, when the St. Louis Hawks played the New York Knicks at Madison Square Garden, and there was, say, the Hawks were favored by 9 points, and all of a sudden the Knicks would stage a rally and cut it to 5, you'd hear boos. Bob Pettit said he never understood why he heard boos until somebody said there's money riding on the game. Mm-hmm. Maybe back then, but now that's not going to happen.
Well, you know, we were talking about the states that are gearing up, and it's kind of interesting when you've got Kansas, Oklahoma, Louisiana, Missouri, Kentucky, Indiana. That's Bible Belt. And
yeah, it is.
And here we have a situation where you know, Bible Belt states are, you know, getting into this professional sports betting. And you know, some of the states like Georgia, Alabama, North Carolina, Tennessee, Arkansas, New Mexico, Arizona, Utah, Colorado, Wyoming, state of Washington, Indiana, they're not so keen on this. They're like, okay, you know, we'll figure it out. We'll let it go. But we do have some Bible Belt states, as I said before, Louisiana, Mississippi, Oklahoma, Kansas, Missouri, Kentucky, Indiana, where they're going to go full bore on this.
Yeah, I mean, they see money, and they see money. It's a form. It's a regressive form of taxation, if you want to get into my dogma. Mm-hmm. But it's not taxation officially. They can, you know, they're not raising any taxes. It's a voluntary tax raise. And look, if the casinos were in the business of giving out money, if Sheldon Adelson, who of course is the big macha, excuse my expression there, in Las Vegas and elsewhere in the world, he's not in the business to enrich a lot of people.
We should point out that Sheldon runs the MGM. So
yeah.
Who are not into who Sheldon is, Sheldon Adelson. Yeah. Runs the MGM casinos. So
yeah, and he's not in the business of handing out money to total strangers.
No.
Except the charities that he likes.
Right.
And I'm going to leave it at that because I don't want somebody to get hypersensitive if I say
Yeah, you don't want to get in trouble on this.
But he's not in the business. Nor is Caesar's in the business of giving away money. I mean, their business is to make money. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's called gambling. You are taking a gamble. You're putting up some money, hoping that X happens, or if X happens, then Y happens. And generally, these guys who run the casinos, with the exception of a few who I won't name that could bankrupt a casino, generally, these people know what they're doing. And generally, Steve Wynn is still in business.
Mm-hmm.
And Sheldon is still in business, and Caesars is still in business, and Genting, the Malaysian company that runs the gambling over at Aqueduct in New York, which would be a perfect spot for the sports book, and Genting runs businesses all around the world. If these people were losing money on gambling, the odds makers, they wouldn't be in business anymore. So somebody is losing, and generally that somebody is losing is the people putting up money doing gambling. Mm-hmm. And you know, look, 4% in Nevada, 4%. You know, as Everett Dirksen once said, a million here, a million there, it starts adding up.
Right. You and I, and many of the people listening, have traveled throughout Europe. It's not uncommon for you to go into a gaming establishment in England and bet on whether it's going to rain today. There is a little bit of everything in that regard, which brings me to William Hill.
Go ahead. No, I was going to say you go to Hamilton, there's a sea breeze, which is about a block and a half west of City Hall, and you go in there and the NFL, of course, is so anti-gambling, but if you are there in the fall, which I've been in Hamilton, Bermuda in the fall, And you could bet on any NFL game. I was in Kotor, Montenegro about 6-7 years ago, and there were kiosks. There weren't even betting parlors. It was a kiosk in the middle of a mall, and you could bet the Stanley Cup Finals, NBA Finals Championship. Of course, those are small potatoes compared to all these soccer leagues that are in Europe that are going at that time, and that's where most of the action was. But that was Kotor, Montenegro in the middle of a mall. I was just in Bruges, Belgium about 4 weeks ago, and Bruges is closed on Sunday mornings. Everybody's going to church. It's totally closed except for one thing that was open, which was Ladbrokes, the English betting, and we haven't even talked about that. But they were open because they were taking action on whatever they were taking action, whether it was horse racing in Asia, because it was probably 6, 7, 8, 9 o'clock in Asia at that point, and probably preparing for the day to bet baseball or whatever soccer league that's going on or whatever fight that's going on. The United States is one of the few countries that doesn't have it. Canada doesn't have it still. The Canadians don't want it, but I get the feeling that the Canadians will be looking at the Americans and begin to realize that some of those loonies are going to come down, particularly in the border towns. I wouldn't be shocked to see in the border towns casinos open up all of a sudden, like the Itliches Casino in Michigan, which is right on the other side of the tunnel in Windsor, Ontario.
Right, right. It's I've been there. If you've it's a beautiful place. The one of the other things we should talk about. Now I know we've gone through the states and where you are. Okay, you know, as I said, some of them who are not ready and geared up yet. Florida being one of them has a little situation coming up on the legislative ballot this fall, where there's going to be an amendment to the Constitution by which anything having to do with gaming will have to pass a referendum. If that passes, otherwise it's business as usual. But one of the other ways that states can get involved with this that may not be a situation where you can go to a sports book or a casino because your state doesn't want it or the people in the state don't want it is potentially what we see in Canada. You're just talking about loonies and loonies folks is what they call the money in Canada. So we're not calling people loony. We're calling
That's because a loon is on coins and on bills, as is a hockey player.
Right. There you go. Well, then hockey players are loony anyway, so we know that too. The possibility, what you can do right now in Canada is you can bet on sports through what is, in essence, the lottery. And you can buy a ticket and you can bet on the games. And it's a sports lottery, if you will. So it is, I don't know, I think, frankly, Evan, that might be yet another stream and possibility for those states who are interested in dabbing their toe in sports gaming, but not taking the total plunge.
Yeah, you know, again, we're going to have to see how it shakes out in New Jersey and Delaware and I guess Iowa and Mississippi.
Pennsylvania, right.
In Pennsylvania, where they're all ready to go. And at this point, the estimates are, 32 states would be involved in it within 4 years. Hawaii can't be. Tennessee is maybe an interesting thing because there is nothing there in Tennessee. Although Tennessee, for the Nashville Predators, changed their alcohol rules so that the arena, which was serving alcohol, was close to a church. And didn't fit within the standards of Tennessee law, so they changed that. So, you know, people who are saying, well, you know, we're not interested in all that, I don't believe it. I think that they're going to look and they're going to say, hey, you know, this may bring in 4%, 4%, 4%. Mm-hmm. And also, if we border a state that has it, we're losing that money that we might get. We're losing it to them. It's going to be interesting to see also if California goes ahead, because as you know, Lake Tahoe straddles California and Nevada.
Right.
And Las Vegas is only 5 hours away from Los Angeles driving, an hour away by plane, an hour away, of course, from the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. How much money Nevada may lose to California if California decides, hey, let's do this. I think that one of the things that Mark Davis going to Las Vegas from Oakland, they thought, and I think there's a prevailing thinking that people in the Bay Area and also in Los Angeles who are Raiders fans are going to go to Las Vegas, of course, bet on the Raiders legally. They may still go to Raiders games in Las Vegas, but will they bet if they could bet down the block from where they live?
Well, according to a July 7, 2017 memo from Assembly Member Adam Gray, I should say, he introduced a constitutional amendment. This is in the state of California that would allow the state to permit sports wagering only if there was a change in federal law, which obviously there was. The proposed amendment specifically referred to the PASAPA, which we've already talked about, which is the federal sports betting ban, being amended and or repealed. All other gaming activities in California are subject to regulations that ensure the safety of the consumers, Gray said in a press release 2 weeks ago. Sports wagering should be treated in, you know, no differently. Within hours of the Supreme Court ruling, Gray reiterated the desire to get sports betting into California via constitutional amendment, which, of course, is something that would have to be a ballot initiative. It could be a special ballot initiative or whatever. But at this point in time, California is one voting cycle away, I guess would be the best way of putting it, away from getting into the sports gaming. I don't see how California doesn't get in it because, frankly, you know, there's casinos all over the state of California. So I truly think California will do it, knowing that, you know, certainly Nevada, they could put a knockout punch into Nevada. I don't know where Arizona stands. I don't see Arizona jumping in there. I certainly don't see Utah jumping into it. So I think that's going to be a fight between a couple of next door neighbors in Nevada and California.
Well, you know, the odd thing, and to get to the Howard Hughes angle here, which I have brought up, is that we know that Harry Reid, who is the senator and majority leader, minority leader for years and years, is Mormon. And there is a big Mormon population in Nevada, as there is in Arizona and Utah. So initially, yeah, I could see Arizona and Utah saying, well, you know what, let's stay out of this because of political concerns. But on the other hand, you have Nevada. And Nevada has had gambling. So it's kind of tricky. I mean, if I was a political analyst at this point, I'd be all over the map. You know, yeah, let's do this. Oh, how? What does this group think of this? And what does that group think of it? That's why at this point, until this thing starts, it's very difficult to figure out. Well, if this one goes, that one goes. I mean, you look at Arizona, and Arizona also has some budget shortfalls, which everybody else does, and they look at it and say, using the Dirksen analogy, a million here, a million there starts adding up. And I think that while they may be talking about this initially and watch what New Jersey does and Mississippi and all that, you know, Louisiana has Harrah's downtown in New Orleans. But Mississippi's had gambling for a very long time, as you know, and they had, after Katrina, they had to change the laws because the casinos weren't allowed to be attached to land. They were on barges, which were wiped down in Biloxi. But you got Gulfport, you got Biloxi, And Mississippi's probably, hey, let's do it. And then Alabama's going to look at it and say, hey, wait, all our money, which is going now because Alabamans go to bet, hey, we're losing money there too. And maybe even the panhandle of Florida, if you look at it, because it's not that far to Mobile or Gulfport from the panhandle.
Yeah.
So, you know, this political nexus begins to come into play.
Well, Evan, you know, we're going to have to wrap this up. It's been fascinating. We'll continue, obviously, to monitor these things. But give me some of your final thoughts on what you think states are going to be doing over the next, I would say, 3 to 4 months, because obviously, you know, we want to get into the baseball playoffs and the beginning of college football and NFL season.
Well, I think they're going to look at New Jersey. New Jersey hopes to have everything wrapped up by June 7th. And the initial, when the New Jersey voters said in 2011, let's do it, the initial plan was to open up the first betting parlor at Monmouth Park, which coincidentally used to be owned by Sonny Werblin and Leon Hess, who were the Jets' original owners in 1963, Phil Islin as well. And I think that New Jersey is going to try to open it, even though they may not have a plan how to collect money or how to regulate this thing. I guess Delaware is more advanced than New Jersey is at this point. And I think that at least if you're in New York and if you're in Pennsylvania and even in Delaware, you're looking at New Jersey. West Virginia doesn't want to pay or does not want to pay out 1% integrity fee. And you look at the states around Iowa, which includes Illinois, which includes Minnesota. And we know Illinois wants to do this and Indiana wants to do it. I think you're going to have what is, I hate to bring up the domino theory. For those of you who are old enough to remember the domino theory, if Vietnam fell, all the others would fall to communism. But I think you have a domino theory here, because I think that if I'm a politician and I see in my state that, the neighbor next door has gambling and it's doing well, and we do a little statistical analysis and see how many of the people who live near the borders go over the bet, I don't want that money lost. I want that money kept in my state. So I think you're going to see something of a domino theory. Still too early to tell, because this thing hasn't started yet. Once it starts, then I think the mechanisms will start state by state by state and saying, hey, we have a chance to literally make free money on this thing. It's a new revenue source, and governments are always looking for revenue sources. So you got to look from that aspect. It's a new revenue source. How much is it going to cost us? Well, it's going to cost us. We have to set up some mechanism, but it's going to pay for itself real fast. And it's also going to be private people doing it. The state's not going to be involved except for regulatory agencies. So I think that once the rubber hits the road and people actually see how this works outside of Nevada and outside of what Delaware does on weekends, on Sunday with the NFL parlay, I think you'll have all of a sudden a heightened interest, because let's put it this way. As George Young once said to me of the New York Giants, everybody says, I'd play for nothing. And he said, if I hear somebody tell me that they play for nothing, I know he's a liar. It's all about the money.
Or that's also about what they're worth.
The money.
If they would play for nothing, they usually aren't worth playing. By the way, just to tidy things up here, as we earlier talked about Churchill Downs getting involved, the casino that they're involved with in the state of New Jersey is the Golden Nugget Casino. And,
so
that's an Atlantic City casino. They will be handling all the sports book information there. From that standpoint, one other quick, item. In the iGaming service, again, I know a lot of people have asked me about the internet element to this. There is not yet an internet element unless, again, and remember, we're just starting this, so don't get freaked. It's going to take a while to roll it out. But the situation with iGaming goes back to this, and that is and Evan, you know this as well as I do. If you are a customer of, I just said the Golden Nugget, so let's just use that. If you're a customer of the Golden Nugget in New Jersey, and you live in the state of New Jersey, okay, and you must live in the state of New Jersey for this to work, you are allowed to use the iGaming sports wagering service, which means that you have an account at the Golden Nugget. You get information on an app. You can actually bet from that app because you have a bank account, if you will, at the Golden Nugget. Okay, so for those of you talking and wondering how the iGaming aspect of this is, that is the way it is right now. That's no different than it was in Nevada with Caesars and with the MGM. If you had an account at the at the sports book, then you could use an app and you could bet without physically being in the building. That is the way that we're going to see, it done at Golden Nugget in New Jersey. And as Evan said, and I agree with him wholeheartedly, this is really going to be something that is going to be an organic, ever-growing, ever-changing situation. Evan, always a pleasure to have you on. Quickly, give us your social media, where to find you, where to buy your books, and
I'm on Facebook. Yeah, I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter, Evan J. Wiener at Twitter, and I got in time for the Stanley Cup Finals. And speaking of sports books, how do you think the Nevada sports books feel about the Vegas Golden Knights run into the Stanley Cup Finals? There is one instance where those guys were wrong, and it's going to cost them. It's one of the few times that I think you could arguably say that the casinos are going to be giving back money, because how many people had the Vegas Golden Knights in the Stanley Cup Finals, and how many people had them actually winning the Stanley Cup?
Other than our friend George McPhee, I don't know how many.
I don't even think George thought that.
You don't think George had it, huh? You don't think George would put down a buck or two?
Yeah, I mean, somebody probably said, let's just throw this out there. It's not going to happen because somebody has the rush, and let's bet everything. But no, I have a hockey book called I'm Not Paul Bunyan, which is what Gordie Howe once told me. And it's available on Apple and Nook from Barnes & Noble, and coming soon to your Walmart stores as they've taken over Kobo Books or have a deal with Kobo Books. So I'm there, and of course, Sports Talk Florida, we have a commentary on daily, which I somehow struggle to put together, but I put them together. And I got some talks if you're in the New York area and you're in the Westchester area in Bronxville, and you want to pay homage to John F. Kennedy's birthday statue from last year, I'm going to be across the street speaking about the year 1968, and that's open to the public. And if anybody is listening and wants to stop at the Bronxville Library on June 7th at 1:30, we talk all about 1968, which includes the Mexico City Olympics and the human powers salute by Tommy Smith and John Carlos.
Evan, thanks very much, as always, and we will definitely talk to you soon.
Yep. Have a good day.
The Politically Incorrect Podcast will continue right after this from our friends at BitTrust IRA. Let me tell you a little bit about my friends at BitTrust IRA, okay? The world of cryptocurrency is both exciting and daunting, okay? It's not a place for rookies. Look, if you don't have cryptocurrency like I do and millions of others in your existing portfolio, you are making a mistake. But now I know you want to take advantage of Bitcoin, but you don't know how. You want to add Bitcoin to your retirement account. Look, you're always wanting to add diversity to your portfolio, and why not look at innovative investments, right? Well, I'm going to tell you what. My buddies at BitTrust IRA are going to help you do this in a seamless and secure way to add cryptocurrency to your portfolio Their team handles the entire process. They make it easy, okay? Now, their team becomes your team. They explain everything to you in a step-by-step manner, very easy, okay? They answer every one of your questions. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to download a free copy of their cryptocurrency IRA investor's guide. That's called the Cryptocurrency IRA Investor's Guide. It is free, and you can get it at bittrustira.com/podcast. That's bittrustira.com/podcast. bittrustira.com/podcast. Or if you prefer to call, that's not a problem either. All right, you ready? Here's the numbers. 855-642-8800. That's 855-642-8800. Call the folks at BidTrust IRA today. You're going to thank me for it. I know you will. Welcome back to this edition of the Politically Incorrect Podcast. I'm Jim Williams. You know, if you haven't yet subscribed to the podcast, first of all, shame on you. Second of all, it is very simple to do. It's free. You just go to the iTunes store. We're part of the Apple Podcast family. You can go to Google Play, also Blog Talk Radio. Now, if you're someone who likes to subscribe to the top podcast apps, well, you're going to find us there without question. We're on Stitcher, we're on Spreaker, and of course, on the TuneIn app. So if you have these apps on your phone or your tablet, or probably both, all you have to do is search the Politically Incorrect Podcast with Jim Williams and hit the favorite button, and each week you will get a brand new copy of the Politically Incorrect Podcast delivered right to your phone or tablet or both, okay? Simple as that. Also, something kind of fun, we're part of the Amazon podcast family, so if you own an Amazon Echo device or any of their wonderful personal assistants where you get the opportunity to speak to Alexa, all you have to do is say, "Hey, Alexa, do me a favor, please play the Politically Incorrect Podcast," and up it will pop and you'll be able to hear it right there on your Amazon device. Okay, so we make it simple, and we hope that you go out today and subscribe to the Politically Incorrect Podcast, and thank you for doing so. Speaking of thanks, I'd like to thank our guest this week. And that, of course, is Evan Weiner, the author of The Business of Sports, a daily commentary, outstanding guy, great public speaker, and prolific author. Go out, get his books. You're going to love it. Okay? All right. Thanks to Evan for joining us. Anyway, have a wonderful and safe holiday weekend as we get ready for a big-time Memorial Day. So enjoy yourself, and we'll see you next week right here on the Politically Incorrect Podcast. Take care now.